It's a national holiday, and the 21st of March is observed across South Africa, and it's all got to do with what happened on this day in 1960, where the community of Sharpeville decided to protest and embark on a protest against past laws. A number of people were shot on that day, 69 to be specific. Protesters were shot, most of them in their backs, and that day, of course, being celebrated now every day of 21st of March, a day to remember what those awesome people did for this country and for the legacy of South Africa. Now, some of the rights that they fought for include equality, human dignity, freedom of movement and residence, language and culture, as well as just pure life. Now, on the phone to talk about this and to talk about human rights in South Africa from a 2020 perspective, we have Advocate Bongani Majola on the line. He is the chairperson of the Human Rights Commission in South Africa. Good morning, Mr. Majola. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. I'm very fine, thank you. And I would wish to greet your listeners.
Thank you so, so much. We appreciate you chatting to us this morning about human rights. And I think a lot of people, we've heard of the Human Rights Commission, and I think over the past few years, we've seen you come into action specifically for racist terms that were used against people. But what exactly does the Human Rights Commission do?
Well, if you give me a little bit of time, I would try to explain, give the context and then explain what we do. Usually governments adopt very beautiful constitutions that they will allow this right and that right, you know, to be exercised in the country, but then they don't do it. I think that our forefathers who created our constitution thought that there have to be mechanisms outside government that monitor what government does and report on that or even challenge government. So the South African Human Rights Commission is one of a number of such mechanisms that were created specifically to support constitutional democracy and to keep an eye on what is happening in terms of the implementation and the fulfillment of the rights that are in the Bill of Rights. So what we do is that we promote the observance of those rights. We promote the protection of the rights that are in the Bill of Rights. We also go around observing how they are being implemented, and we report at least once to Parliament on that. We've been given the power to investigate situations where there is a complaint that a right has been violated, and we have the power to provide the remedies to people whose rights we find have been violated. That is why then you see us going up and down in the country, going visiting hospitals and other places.
Right, I see you. So, like I said earlier, over the recent years, you know, the K word has been used against various people, and such cases that have gotten some public light include Penny Sparrow's case, Vicky Momberg, and Adam Katsavelos. But what exactly does the Constitution say about the use of this word, and what rights do we have as people? Because I think on the streets, you know, I've been called that word by someone on the street, and because I couldn't get the registration, what have you, I didn't pursue the matter and just shrugged it off my shoulders. But a lot of South Africans experience racial slurs on a daily basis. And what rights and recourse do they have?
Thank you very much. I think that that's a very important question, especially in the current time in our history. The K word, the H word, in other words, that were used by apartheid as part of the policy of discriminating against other people on racial grounds, are now prohibited in South Africa. In fact, I think that there is a constitutional court decision about the K word, and there is a decision in the Northern Cape about the H word, that they should not be used. Because they amount to, the use thereof amounts to discrimination on the grounds of race. But The discrimination is not only prohibited if it is based on race. It's prohibited if it's based on things like gender, sex, marital status, ethnic origin, color, and other criteria. So if somebody violates your right, they discriminate against you on the basis of any of those factors that are mentioned in the Bill of Rights, then the South African Human Rights Commission comes in. I don't think that one should shrug it off and simply say, I'm doing nothing about it, because that's what causes the bad practice to go on, the violations to go on.
Right.
One has to report this to the South African Human Rights Commission. And the South African Human Rights Commission has got two options, either to investigate the case itself and make a finding and give a remedy to you, or it can take the case directly to the Equality Court and ask the Equality Court to investigate the case and give you a remedy. Thirdly, the commission can actually report the case to the police, so that you know, a criminal case can be opened, like it happened then in Penisparo, that they were charged in Vicky Mombek and Adam. They were charged criminally.
Yeah.
We don't do the criminal part, but we can refer things to the criminal justice system to be dealt with. And we also just publicize it as much as we can, so that people should know that if you go that far, there will be consequences, and so that people know that when they are violated in that way, there is somewhere they can go to recall. I wouldn't encourage people simply to shrug it off. That's what perpetuates this apartheid practice up to now, 25 years, 26
right.
years to be exact, after we became a democracy.
Right.
So you ask what the Constitution says. The Constitution, as I have said, prohibits this, but there is also a law which is the promotion of equality, you know, the equality law. And under that law, you can be taken to task in the Equality Court.
Okay, do you believe that the racial slurs and racial words used to undermine people based on race, by prohibiting them and charging people legally and making people go to jail, for example, for this, do you think it's actually working as a deterrent in this country?
I think it is working as a deterrent, and I think it will work as a deterrent. The problem is that, of course, the criminal sanction alone is not going to work. You know, we need to educate people that everybody as a human being has got human rights and human dignity, and that they should be treated as such.
Mm.
And I think that we are moving in that direction, because the Department of Basic Education has now agreed to include human rights in the basic education curriculum. And I think that when children grow up knowing the values of human rights and respecting human rights, I think that we're going to get a better society.
Right.
But in addition to that, I think that practically we should show no tolerance to the practice.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people should know my friend, my neighbor, you know, my sister, my father, when they say things like those, we should not waste a minute, you know, before we say to them, that is wrong. If you're going to be my father, you can't be talking like that.
Right.
Or if you're going to be my friend, you can't be calling people that way, because it is prohibited. You know, it violates the rights of other people. You know, if we are not champions of the protection and promotion of the rights of others, we are going to continue to have this. But when we say, I will protect your rights, you know, whenever I see any violation, then we're going to have a more peaceful society, and social cohesion will be promoted.
Absolutely. Will you stay on the line for me, Mr. Majola? We would like to go to news and do some sport, and we'll come back to this conversation in just a moment.
SABC News. Independent and impartial.
Good morning, I'm Jolani Tulor making headlines. The National Command Council will meet today to assess the implementation of directives to combat the spread of the coronavirus. This follows President Cyril Ramaphosa's declaration of the pandemic as a national disaster last weekend. The Gauteng government says it is concerned that the province has the highest number of coronavirus infections in the country. South Africa has 240 infections, with Gauteng at 125, followed by Cape Town at 74. And finally, tributes are pouring in for Sun City developer and international hotel tycoon Saul Kersner, who died at the age of 84 yesterday. I'll have details at 8 o'clock.
Get it first on your mobile, on the web, and on your dial. This is Radio 2000 Sport.
And a very good morning from the sports desk. Athletic South Africa President Alex Kosana says he's surprised that the South African Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee is referring his case for being ineligible for elections back to its nomination committee for reconsideration. The independent nominations committee appointed by SASCOC to assist the independent auditors in finalizing the list of persons who were eligible for nomination to stand for elections to the SASCOC board decided that Kosana was ineligible to be nominated on account of him not being in good standing. Boxing South Africa has been forced to reschedule this weekend's licensing of boxers, trainers, managers and ring officials in the Western Cape. BSA has also withdrawn the sanctioning of tournaments which were planned for this weekend and next month because of the coronavirus. Normally, the licensing period closes on the 31st of March every year, and BSA Chief Executive Tolofelo Lejaka says no one who wanted to be licensed would be disadvantaged by the postponement.
We can assure our licensees in the Western Cape that nobody will be locked out, nobody will be prejudiced as a result of this postponement, because it's because of reasons which are beyond our control, all of us. So at a time when the storm is over and we've got green light to revert back to normal business and process, we will then communicate the new timeline.
Chipper United Chairman Sivuwe Chipampengezi is singing the praises of Coach Rulani Mokoena, especially with some of the changes that he's introduced to the technical team since his arrival at the Port Elizabeth base, bringing in some young minds. Mpengezi says it's time, or rather it's for the first time, that he's got a coach who is younger than him.
Coach Rulani, with all his experience at Sundowns, Pirates, he has really brought a fresh breath now in our team. He brought the young guys. There's Awana, who was born in 1997, the assistant coach. I mean, for me, I always say it's the first time I have a coach who's younger than me. So I enjoy this. I hope and wish him all the best.
Now, though the African Cup of Nations qualifiers are halted for now due to the coronavirus outbreak, SuperSport United and Zambian international Gampani Lungu says he is relishing the opportunity to work with the new men at the helm of the Zambian national team, Miletun Zadiovic, once normality prevails again. The Zambians were meant to play back-to-back Group H games against Botswana in what would be the former Orlando Pirates coach's first official camp with the squad following his appointment back in February. Lungu says his confident Mitchell will hurl the Golden Days back to the once mighty Chipolopolo.
With the new coach, like, we haven't played under him yet, so we don't know what he brings, but we've seen what he can do for Pirates. Like, he's a really good coach, so we're just looking forward to work with him. I think, like, Mitchell is more direct, like wing play, crosses, and I feel like we're good at those things, but we just never used to do them as much, and there were too many individual players, so maybe things like that might change.
And a Formula One world champion Lewis Hamilton has undergone a period of isolation after he recently came in contact with actor Idris Elba and Sophie Trudeau, wife of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who both tested positive for the coronavirus. And for Radio 2000 Sport on the weekend, Favour Gay and Tabi Mamabolo headlines just after 8.
We can and we will beat the coronavirus. Let's stand firm together.
We've cancelled visas to visitors from those countries from today, and previously granted visas are hereby revoked.
We can and we will beat the coronavirus. Let's stand firm together.
Ukhosatsana yakweneng unaledi mrotsana yaitobileng tojana yatisile mahlomasweu wahohela seketileng sifahleo waratea lihara batho wa tsotea ka ntle le ka hare wa buheha sifubeng ke mafika twadi ya mo Afrika mahlakoreng ke masakana ka morao ke maralla o hoto o bupeile o kaplongpoto o chisa feta onto ke kanaka bostango bantswetse hey o mofumane mofumane wa sepele mofumane ke mothotse Manapo ga itse di ya letsie Small model le sa ho bo hotel ha bo nya wa le matsa le ntwe le to be leng ha bo we kan so di na mino podi leng la o ka nyamela di le molimo ke tla o emela si fu ben ke mafika fika twa di ya mo Afrika mahlakoreng ke masakana ka morao ke maralla ngwana batho o hoto o bupeile o kaplongpoto o chisa feta onto ke kanaka bostang bantswetse sibili ke montotsi no usari wa mankonte ke mufumani usari wa sibili ke montotsi no usari wa mankonte ke mufumani usari wa
Yeah.
It's music from Press. It's Radio 2000, our music, your memories. We're still having our round table discussion. We're talking about Human Rights Day that happened yesterday, and a very special day for us to remember, as it forms a big part of our history as South Africa. So on the line, I'm still joined by the chairperson of the Human Rights Commission in South Africa, Advocate Bongani Majola. Now, Advocate, we were talking quite openly about the importance of, if you are called, you know, a racial word, and feel your human rights have been violated, that you shouldn't shrug it off and leave it. It's important for you to pursue the matter. A lot of the time people will say, well, what evidence do I need? It's a he said, she said, right? Because it's a situation where maybe you're in a mall and someone calls you that. It's very hard to prove that the other person did actually call you this word.
Well, you're absolutely true that if it's just a single witness, it becomes difficult. But our rules of evidence have foreseen situations where there will just be one witness. And there are rules that the judges and magistrates use in order to evaluate even just your say-so as against his or her say-so.
Right.
So that it should not be an impediment if the violation happened according to what you perceived with your own ears and eyes, then I think that should be enough. If you simply just testify before the magistrate that I was at the mall, this is what I was doing, the time was this, the date was this, and this person called me this because I was buying something from them and I refuse to do, you know, whatever they want to call, they want to call the, that evidence is not useless just because it's only you,
right?
You know,
right?
Yes. On these names, can I just add something? On these names, what the commission is also doing, you know, there are many place names that still use these words, you know, like the Hottentot Holland, you know, there's there are even farms with these names like Kaffer Dry and so on. We are taking up a campaign to try and get those names removed.
Right. And how soon is this going to be happening? I'm quite surprised. I didn't know these words, these towns or these places exist.
Well, it's difficult for one to say how long it will take because it involves negotiating with different levels of government. It also involves research to find out which of which places and buildings and you know, rivers or farms have got these names. And once you've collected all of them, you can then go to the relevant authorities,
right,
you know, to say these names must be changed. And if they don't change it, then you can litigate to force the them to take steps to change the names. And it may take a long time because, you know, you may have to go to the local authorities, you may have to go to provincial authorities, to national, you know, and
yeah,
so on. But we will work out the best strategy once the research is finished on where are these names, how many are they, and so on.
So we do know that, of course, a lot of people come to you for being called racist words or racist names. What else does the Human Rights Commission have plenty of? What other complaints, you know, rack up quite a lot of, like, have you having to go to court for them? So what other situations do you find yourself having to stand in court for?
Well, I think that the discrimination on the basis of race actually is just the top of is at the top of the list.
Yeah.
But you should know also, I guess you know, that the Bill of Rights also provides for social economic rights. In other words, the right to housing, to water and sanitation, health, education, and so on. And now we do get complaints on the basis thereof, because whereas the government started with a great deal of enthusiasm and impetus to provide water and sanitation, housing and other things, that enthusiasm has kind of waned away. You know, you'll hear the government saying we've built 4 million houses and so on. The Constitution says that there must be a progressive development of these, you know, in healthcare and what have you. But there is now very little evidence that, you know, more is being done. You know, the impetus has done. And that creates protests, people coming to complain that they don't have access to housing, they've been waiting for too long, that they don't have access to water, you know, healthcare, and so on. So we get a lot of complaints. We are getting an increasing number of complaints in those areas.
Now, is there any hierarchy amongst human rights? Are some rights more important than others? And also, are some rights abused by the public?
Well, I wouldn't say that there is a hierarchy of rights. Rights are supposed to be equal and universal. In other words, there shouldn't be a right that is more important than another one. However, if we look at our jurisprudence, my statement is a little bit different from what the Constitutional Court said in 1995 in the case of Makwanyana, the death penalty case, where the Constitutional Court said that the rights to life and dignity, those two rights, are the most important rights of all the human rights that we have, because they are the source of all other personal rights that are in the Bill of Rights. In other words, if you don't have the right to life, you may not even be able to speak, and therefore your right to freedom of expression flows from the fact that you are alive and you have dignity.
Right, I see what you're saying. You know, I really find the conversation a very interesting one, because I think a lot of South Africans know we have rights and there is a constitution to protect these rights. But a lot of the time we didn't know that, you know, for example, an organization like yourselves, the South African Human Rights Commission, is the first point of call. How do people actually get in touch with you? And I think that's an important question. How do people get in touch with you?
We have a provincial office in each province. My sense is that if people go into the website of the commission, they will then find the list of all the provincial offices with the contact details, their emails, telephone numbers, and so on. And they can then, you know, if you are in Mpumalanga, you can then use the Mpumalanga office, or in Johannesburg, you can use the Gauteng office, and so on, depending on where you are. You can phone in, you can write. It's always better to write, because then we have a record, a complete record of what the complaint is about, and we can immediately start investigating it.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the best way. And I think making sure if there is an incident that you are involved in where you feel your human rights have been violated,
the
first thing to do is to write down everything and keep note of every single thing, so that you have a nice account of everything. Okay, that's important. Do you have any specific celebrations? Considering we've got COVID-19, you can't really have a big celebration. But is there anything that you're doing around human rights this month?
Yes, you know, the South African Human Rights Commission is turning 25 in October this year. And so we have established a subcommittee to actually plan and organize events. And we have planned events for Human Rights Day in all our provinces to take place yesterday. Unfortunately, because of COVID-19, we have had to cancel events. We have planned other events because of the year leading up to October, November, to celebrate human rights and to celebrate also the 25th years of existence of the commission. We will do a concert at some time in June. We will have lectures. There are lots and lots of things that we're preparing. But in the end, we'll have a big conference where we'll talk about human rights, and we'll invite people from inside and outside South Africa to come and talk about human rights. Because, among other things, we think that the 25th year celebration should be used as a way to showcase what South Africa has done in the area of promoting and fulfilling human rights.
Right. And as we wrap it up, I just have one question with regards to COVID-19. A lot of people are self-quarantining, keeping their distance. What would you say to somebody who says, this is against my human right to be forced to do all these things, self-quarantine, to use the hand sanitizer, to do all these things? What do you say to that?
Well, I would say that perhaps the person doesn't understand that human rights, his right, is dependent on the observance and protection of the rights of others also. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we spoke about rights being equal. So his right is not more important than the rights of other people. So if he doesn't want to quarantine, if he or she doesn't want to use sanitizers, all the preventive measures to prevent the virus from transferring to other people and infecting other people, then, his right cannot be enforced. In other words, he cannot persist legally to say, well, I'm not going to observe what the health professionals say should be done in order to save everybody else's right to health and to life.
I see. Uh-huh. Wow, that's a beautiful way to end this conversation. I really, really do appreciate your time this Sunday. Thank you so much, Advocate. We really appreciate your time and for your insights and letting us know that we can approach the South African Human Rights Commission should we feel our rights are violated. But bearing in mind, it shouldn't be that your right is more important than anybody else's rights.
Yes.
I love
Thank you very much, and happy Human Rights Day belatedly.
Thank you so much. Goodbye. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. That, of course, is the chairperson of the Human Rights Commission in South Africa, Advocate Bongani Majola. Unpacking human rights and your rights. Right, you can actually approach them if you feel you've been violated. And like I said earlier, just bear in mind that everybody else also has rights.